So, are most people in here married? I'm curious. Do we have anyone not married? Okay. Do you remember when you got married? Did you have a shower, a wedding shower? And did you get a whole bunch of tools and gadget for your kitchen? I did too. I got things I didn't even know what they were. And you took them home and you put them away in their appropriate spaces. And then as time went on and you started preparing different meals, you eventually got to most of those gadgets that you got, right? You know, maybe you got this gadget. Like, what is this? Does anybody know? Can you fill a girl in? Oh, a garlic. Okay. Oh. That's handy. Look what you can learn at 52. It's amazing. A garlic press. Okay. So you may have gotten a whole bunch of things, right? But when you're first starting out, maybe you want to make a cake. So you look in your drawer, and what do you pull out? And we're going to need a cake pan, and we're going to need a bowl to make the cake in, and definitely some stirring equipment. Will I need this? A potato masher? Probably not going to need that. How about this apple corer thing? Not unless I'm making an apple cake, right? But I'm not, because we only make chocolate. All right, so these are the only tools that I need. Is anybody getting the point? This is all you need, ladies. Blue and green. Your Bible and the Holy Spirit. All right? If you're feeling like, I have all these, you just came to a wedding shower. This is a 9-week-long wedding shower. Okay, you are getting all sorts of gifts. Open them with joy. Okay, you're getting gifts. You're not going to use them all every time you sit down to study. You're not. You might just use blue and green. Or you might say, I'm going to make an apple cake. And you're going to need your question and answers. Okay, they're just tools. Don't let them overwhelm you. They are meant to help you, not beat you over the head. Okay, so keep that in mind. All you need is blue and green, your Bible, and the Holy Spirit. If the other stuff is tripping you up, set it aside. You can always come back to it later. You get to take that notebook home with you. You can master blue and green. And when you do, you are going to fall more and more and more in love with Jesus. And you are going to want to know him more. And all of a sudden, you're going to go, how can I do that? I have a whole tool jar that I can go, oh, tool drawer that I can open up and pull out all of these different tools that I learned to dig deeper. So just picture you are at your wedding shower, 9 weeks of getting gifts of tools to use. You don't have to go home and use them all tonight. All right? So let's talk about some more tools. No, we're not going to do more tools. I'm going to just show you that you can use this to either make cake mix or a salad. Okay? Okay, that's all we're going to do today. You have learned all of the things you need to learn. Now we're going to learn how to apply them to other kinds of scripture. If you're going to focus on blue and green in your personal Bible study time, I'm going to suggest stay in the epistles. Those epistles are letters. That's what that word stands for. So all of the letters that were written by Paul. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you've got your Gospels. Then you have Acts, which is kind of a historical book. And then starting in Romans, you're going to start to have letters all the way through to Revelation. So stay, that's a sweet spot to stay in. You're going to learn all sorts of good stuff. Another easy place for blue and green is the Psalms. Okay, so stay there. Just soak in it. Get pruny in it. Let your fingers get all pruny. Enjoy it. All right? Then when you're ready, you can start to venture off. So at the wedding shower today, we're going to just learn about how to do that. Okay? When you're ready. Don't let this overwhelm you. All right. I'm so excited because I love Gospels. And let me tell you why. Because they are Jesus, 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 Jesus all the time. All the time. And I just love that about the Gospels. So we are going to be in John. I don't remember. Let me go down here and look. Thank you. John 13, 1 through 17. Now, the only thing that you're going to see that we've added to your front page is step number 4. Make a bullet point list of major events in your journal. I do this for anything except for epistles and psalms. So if it's a gospel, a historical narrative, or prophecy, I just kind of jot down, okay, what happened? So we're going to start. We're just going to read the text. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel which he had girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered to him, What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you will have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, well then not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do what I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Okay, now you would make a little summary of what happened. Now, summaries can be anywhere from very simple to very complex. For the sake of this class today, we're going to do a simple summary. But Margaret could attest that one of her summaries was like 2 pages long. And that's fine. Most of my summaries end up being long too, because I'm really looking very specifically at what they're doing and it pulls out questions. But to make a summary, there should be a space for you. I don't know what page it's on. Thank you, 51. So step 4 right there, you're going to just, I already typed it in for you, a summary. Supper has ended. Oh, and by the way, don't stress out about writing a lot of notes today. I am going to send all of my study notes to you this afternoon, okay? So relax and just take in what I'm saying, all right? So a summary, supper's ended. I would type everything out. The devil has put in his heart to betray Jesus. Jesus washes their feet. Peter protests, and Jesus tells them to follow their example, his example, okay? Now, we also have to do the author, when it was written to, and that sort of thing. We do that every single time. The Gospel of John was written by John. It's written to all of us. It was probably written between 85 and 90 AD. And the purpose is that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that you might have life in him. Now, how did I find this information? I used Got Questions, and I just typed in the Gospel of John and clicked on Bible Survey. And again, another way you could have found it was looking in front of your Bible if it has the little introduction between each book. That would give you that information as well. All right, now we're going to highlight. So we've done a summary, and now we're highlighting. Now, Gospels are not as straightforward as epistles and psalms. It's not as easy to do just green and blue, but we're still going to try to do it. So a lot of times I'll end up in a gospel, everything Jesus did and said, I make it blue. That just makes it easy. And then here's the point. In the epistles, it will say, God is faithful. We write down in our God column, God is faithful. In a gospel, we observe God's faithfulness. So now we have to pull that character out. It's not going to say it. We're going to see what he did, and we're going to extract it and say, okay, he was being loving there. He was being patient there. He was being kind. Okay? You see the difference? We have to work for it a little bit harder in the gospel because we're just looking at what he did. We're making observations about his character and what he did and what he said. So, now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own whom were in the world, he loved them to the end. That whole thing is about Jesus. So the whole thing is going to be blue. So, just about all of verse 1. I just didn't put the time down, but everything else. Verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. There's nothing there, right? Nothing about God, nothing about us. So we move on. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, poured water in a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, wiped them with the towel in which he girded. All about Jesus, right? So all the way from 3 to 6, you're going to highlight in blue. Now, verse 6, then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said, Lord, are you washing my feet? That is a question. So we're going to put that in orange. Now, Jesus answered to him and said, what I am doing now, you do not understand, but you will know after this. Now, this is a judgment call for you. If you're doing everything Jesus said and did in blue, make it blue. If you're looking more for actions versus than what he said, you can leave it. When I did this, I chose to leave it. So have some grace and some flexibility with yourself, okay? Verse 8, Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him and said, if I do not wash you, you will have no part of me. What is that? That's a warning. So that we are going to underline in red. If I do not wash you, you will have no part of me. Underlined in red. 1 second, I'm having a technical. There we go. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my feet. Now, I just saw a butt there, so we're going to circle that. And then we also see when Peter is saying, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and head. What is that? It's a request of God. So that is yellow. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. But there's another but. So go ahead and circle that one. Is completely clean. You are, and you are clean. There's another but. Go ahead and circle that. But not all of you. Okay. Now at this point you might be going, huh? What's he talking about? Leave it blank. All right? Don't wrestle about it. Leave it blank. You can do your research and come back later and highlight it. So I'm just going to leave it blank because I have questions about what that means. Which takes me to verse 11. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. So that's about Jesus again. He knew. That's telling me about something about him. So I'm going to highlight, for he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean, in blue. Now, I have a therefore. I'm going to circle that. And this, you are not all clean. That seems like a warning to me, like something I want to pay attention to. So I'm going to go back and underline that in red as well. Okay, verse 12. So when he had washed his feet, washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you?" The first part of that tells me about Jesus, so that is going to be in blue. But then I come up to a question, and I'm going to put the question in orange. All right, 13. You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so am I. Okay, see two things in here. I think we should call him teacher and Lord. So I'm going to make that green as an example. You call me. But teacher and Lord tell me something about him. So I'm going to make that blue. And then at the end there where he says, so I am, I'm going to make that blue as well. Okay, that brings us to 14. If I then, your Lord and teacher, again, that's about God. Go ahead and put that in blue. Have washed your feet. He did that too. Put that in blue. You also ought to wash one another's feet. What color will that be? Green. Good job. That is an example that he wants us to follow. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. So first part is going to be blue because Jesus gave us the example. And then the last part, you should do as I have done, is green because it's an example to follow. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent me greater than who sent him. To me, that sounds like a statement of truth. So I'm going to underline, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him, in black. Last verse, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So I see two examples, know these things. Oops, I'm still on underline, excuse me. So know these things should be highlighted. And if you do them, both of those in green, but who's going to do the blessing? God's going to bless us. So that is in blue. Okay. So now where do you go from here? I am going to walk you through this step by step, exactly what I did when I studied this passage. So sometimes you're like, I don't know where to start because it's confusing. And that's, you're in exactly the right place then. So the first thing I did was, okay, I'm going to write down in my God and me columns what I do have so far. All right? So I'm just going to go back and look at my blue and green. I've started some up here. I'm not going to, again, you're going to get a copy of my notes, so don't stress out about writing them all down. But what I did see, maybe look at the highlighted text and follow along with me to where I got what's in my God column. First, he knows what's going to happen in the future. He would depart from this world to the Father. He loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. He knew that the Father had given all things into his hands. He knew that he had come from God and was going to God. He rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, poured water in a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, wiped them with a towel, had a teaching convo with Peter, knew that Judas would betray him. When he was finished, he took his garments and sat down again. He is our teacher and Lord, gave us an example to follow, and he blesses us when we follow that example. Okay, everybody with me? One thing we did not do when we went through the text is mark our questions. So don't forget to do that, because I had several, and I'm just going to tell you where they were. My first question was in verse 5. Why was he washing their feet? What is that about? So I marked that as question number one. My next question was in verse 10, when he said, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. That was a little, I don't know what that means. So I made a question. And then my third question was in verse 15, when he says, I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Are we supposed to be going around washing people's feet? That seems curious to me as well. It's another question. Then when I was writing down my God and me columns, and I'm writing, he rose from supper, he laid his garments down, he took a towel, he girded. Why is there so much detail? Why not just say he washed his feet? I mean, it seems very, very detailed. And this is something we pay attention to in Scripture because every word's important. So that's my next question. Why is what Jesus did so methodically written down? Okay? Now, my me column, I put down that I need to make him my teacher and Lord. It says, you call me Lord and teacher. That's a decision I have to make. Allow him to be my Lord. Allow him to teach me. I'm to wash other people's feet, but I have a question mark next to that one because I don't know what that means. And I'm not really crazy about feet. And I'm to do as he has done to me, and I am to know it and to do it. Not just know it, but do it. So now the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to page 52 where my research questions are, and I'm going to jot down the questions I have so far. And so far I have four of them. What was the significance of feet washing? What does it mean that he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet? Why is there so much detail in what Jesus did? And do I literally have to wash people's feet? Those are my questions. I'm not going to answer those yet. I'm going to keep going because maybe some of my research, some of my tools are going to help me figure it out along the way. So the next obvious thing that pops off the page to me is the questions. So on page 50 in your books, I would start there by entering those two questions. Lord, are you washing my feet? And then Jesus says, do you know what I have done to you? Now, when I was going through the process of writing down the questions and the answers, Peter's question, Lord, are you washing my feet? When I was writing down Jesus' answer, what I am doing you do not understand, but you will know after this. After this popped off the page for me. It didn't when I was reading it, but now, after this. So I made an observation. I stopped. Okay, after this, after what? Okay, he was gonna wash his feet, go through the whole process, and then after Jesus was done doing what he was doing, Peter would begin to understand at some point. So the observation that I made at this point and wrote down was, sometimes we have to go through something before we understand why we went through it. But Jesus knew all along exactly what he was doing. Okay, so after this just taught me a lesson about God, right, that I can take with me. I might have to go through something and not understand why it's happening. But I will know when Jesus wants me to know, and I can rest in knowing that he knows what he's doing. That's awesome. Okay? Okay, so now I need to add something to my me column because I just learned something. I need to trust in the Lord even when I don't understand what he's doing. Okay? All right, now, the next question that I did, nothing popped off the page for me. I answered it, but nothing came to me. So I'm moving on. Now I'm going to look at my T&Bs. There were four, at least, that I wrote down. I think there were probably more in the text, but oftentimes you'll be doing it, and one will jump off the page, and then you stop. You're like, oh my gosh, look what I just learned. And so you stop there, and you don't go any further. So I did the one in verse 7. What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after. I already figured that one out, right? Lord, not only my feet, but also my hand and my head. I'm still not sure what Peter was getting at there. In verse 10, he says, he who is bathed needs not only to wash his feet, is completely clean. Okay, this raises another question for me. What does that mean? So I wrote down question number 5 for me. Why is Peter completely clean, but some are not? And I thought about it. Okay, what could that possibly mean? Some are not. He talks about Judas. So is Judas the one that's not clean? And Peter is clean. And then I form a hypothesis. Does this mean that because Peter believes in Jesus that he is saved or washed clean and some are not, like Judas? Well, when you keep reading, verse 11 confirms that for you. It says that, let me find it for you. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, not all are clean. Yes, Judas was the one that was not clean, but Peter was clean. I have proved my hypothesis. Okay? Now, I wrote another hypothesis. Is washing Peter's feet symbolizing that we never quite arrive? And even though we are saved, we will continue to have areas of our life that need spot cleaning. That's my hypothesis. I'm moving on. I'm going to see if the process will help me answer the question. But I've written it down so I know to go back to it. All right, so next I'm going to do reason whys. I saw one reason why in the text when we went through it, and that was at verse 15. For I have given you an example, why, that you should do as I have done for you. In your homework, there's not room to do reason whys. I explained that last week. I would just slip it in on page 51 under step 7. So remember, it's just a 2-column. I've given you an example, the statement, followed by the reason why. Now, that raised another question, that you should do what I have done for you. We're back to that washing feet. So now I'm thinking about that. If washing feet is talking about Jesus' spot cleaning, how am I supposed to spot clean others? You see, that seems very odd to me. So I made a hypothesis. Or is this a 2-in-1 lesson? Is the example that we're supposed to follow is that we're supposed to humble ourselves and serve others as Jesus humbled himself and did a servant's job for them, so that we too should humble ourselves. But he was teaching them that they will need to continue to have spot cleaning along their walk with the Lord. All right, now that seems to make more sense. I can't see me being given the role of spot cleaning. That makes more sense to me. Okay, so I'm writing down these thoughts that are coming to me and my hypothesis, and then I'm going to prove them along the way. Okay, all right. So next I'm going to look at my warnings. That's on page 50 of your book. There were 2 of them. If I do not wash you, you have no part of me. And then the second, you are not all clean. Now, I made a couple more observations when I got through this step. My first one was, Peter was saved, he believed, but if he didn't allow Jesus to wash his feet, Jesus said he could now have no part of him. So what does that mean? We can't lose our salvation, right? So what does it mean that if he doesn't let Jesus wash his feet when he's saved, that he can't have any part of him? Because I know I can't lose my salvation. Okay, so if I don't let him do this spot cleaning, this ongoing cleaning, I think this is about intimacy. If I don't spend time with Jesus, if I don't learn what holiness is, if I don't listen to the Holy Spirit when he convicts me of my sin and I just keep doing it, there's no intimacy there. This wasn't about a one-time, okay, I'm saved, and going back to my life as it was before. I think this is about surrender. I think this is about believing and then continuing on in the process of being transformed and having my mind renewed and becoming more like Christ. So this is an observation that I made and I wrote down. So by thinking it through, really thinking about it, and applying what you know to be true, I knew that I couldn't lose my salvation. If you don't know that, go find out. That's the point. Know it so you can stand on it. So when verses like this come around, you are firm on your foundation. You're not like, well, wait a minute, I didn't think I could lose my salvation. You're firm. I can't lose my salvation. This can't be what this means. What does it mean? Okay? All right. My other observation I made, just because you spend time hanging out with Jesus like Judas did, listening to his preaching like Judas did, doesn't mean you're going to heaven. And this reminded me of a verse that I already know, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. We have to know who Jesus is, and we have to have made him Lord of our life. We can't just go to church and that's it. Then you're just Judas. You have to know. He has to be Lord of your life. So I have to add a couple more things to my God and me columns. Under God, only Jesus can wash us. No other way. There is no other way. If I do not wash you, you can't have part of me. He has to be the one. Under my me column, I need to continue to surrender. It made me think of David. Search me, O God. Know if there's any wicked way. David was saved, right? He believed in God. David was going to heaven, but he had that continued, search me, O God. Show me any wicked way. Keep cleaning what needs to be cleaned. All right. We're making so much headway. It's so exciting. We've learned so many things. All right, next. Sometimes in the Gospels, you see conversations. We don't usually see those in the epistles, but in the Gospels, we see them all the time. And so it can be fun and helpful to track a conversation. And sometimes we can learn things through those. So if you go to page 51, there's a box there for you to do the conversation between Peter and Jesus. And I always start the first line, whoever talked first, and then bounce back and forth. So, Lord, are you washing my feet? And you just enter the whole conversation. It's a good idea when you get to the end of a conversation to kind of think about it and summarize, okay, what was the point of this conversation? As I went through it, I made an additional observation that said, he who is bathed is completely clean. Just sit with that for a second. You are completely clean. If Jesus has saved you, you're clean. How awesome is that? That is a place to just sit for 5 minutes and just thank you, Jesus. And just praise him because we're clean. He looks at us and he sees his son. That's awesome. That's a good place to stay. Okay, now, I have used all the tools I'm going to use today. That's all I'm going to use. Now I'm going to go through and I'm going to look at what questions I still have left open, what hypothesis I still have hanging out there, and I'm going to wrap everything up. So going back to page 52 where our questions were, my first question was, what was the significance in washing feet? What was that all about? So to research that question, I went to gotquestions.org, and I just typed in feet washing, and an article popped up. And it's going to give you historical context. Like, they walked around on dirt roads in sandals. Their feet were dirty. They also did not sit at tables like we did. They lounged at them on pillows. The tables were low to the ground. They lounged. Their feet would be out to the side. So somebody's feet is right behind you. I want them to be clean when you're eating a meal, right? You're also going to find out that the person that washed the feet was the household servant and not the one that had been there for 3 years, like the brand new one. This was the guy's job that nobody wanted, the washing feet job. It was lowest on the lowest. So all of this historical context is going to give you a better picture of, okay, this was a big deal that Jesus washed their feet. And why hadn't anyone else offered? Like, so I'm assuming they get there. There's nobody there to wash feet. How come Andrew didn't say, I got the feet washing. I'll take care of it. Clearly it hadn't been done. And now Jesus is washing. That really does make you think about, what do we think about ourselves, right? Oh, that, I don't do that. I'm a teacher. You know what I mean? I don't help take out the garbage. It's no. We should be, let me get the garbage, right? Okay, something to be learned there. All right, so the answer to my question there is then that this really did display Jesus in humility and servanthood. That was the example that he was laying forward. For his disciples, he was giving them the idea, the contrast to their heart attitudes, that they were not disciples and therefore weren't required to serve. They would need to serve just like he did. They were no greater than he was, and they would do what he did, and he washed their feet. He took on the lowliest job, and so should they, is what he was trying to get across. It also, for us, as in the body of Christ, we're to follow this example, serve one another, and help and do, and realize that none of us is better than anybody else, that all of us function together, and we all need to pitch in and help. Okay, my second question was, what does it mean when he said, he that is bathed needs only to wash his feet? I needed to confirm my hypothesis that I had made before. Using that same article in Got Questions, it said, Peter had experienced the cleansing of salvation and did not need to be washed again in the spiritual sense. But the process of sanctification is one of washing from the stain of sin we experience as we walk through the world. It's that ongoing, okay, sanctification, that's a word, all right? And if you don't know what sanctification is, well, have some fun finding out, all right? That's what this whole process is about. So when you read this passage, or your kids read this passage, and they're like, what does that mean? You say, oh, I know, I've studied this, I know. And you understand what sanctification is, and you can help explain it to somebody else. Okay, so I did a little research. I Googled some verses about sanctification. Remember how we did that last week? Verses about sanctification. I looked for the Open Bible article to pop up, and I found Hebrews 10:14. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. You can't lose your salvation. That verse right there tells you you can't. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess, he is faithful to forgive and purify. Purify speaks of sanctification. I'm forgiven. I'm washed clean. Now I'm going to go through the sanctification process of being made holy, being purified. All right? Now, my next question was, why was there so much detail in the significance of what Jesus did? To look this up, I decided to check into a commentary. I used David Guzik's commentary, and you have to listen to what I found because it's so awesome. It said, this is a parable in action. Jesus rose from supper, a place of rest and comfort. He rose from his throne in heaven, a place of rest and comfort. He laid aside his garments, taking off his covering. Jesus laid aside his glory, taking off his heavenly covering. He took a towel and girded himself, being ready to work. He took the form of a servant and came to earth ready to work. Jesus poured water into a basin ready to clean. Jesus poured out his blood to cleanse us from guilt and penalty of sin. Jesus sat down again after washing his feet. Jesus sat down again at the right hand of God the Father after cleansing us. How awesome is that? That's so cool. All right, now what about this washing feet literally question we still have hanging out there? I think that we actually did answer that one. Ah, I do. See question 6. We're going to get there. All right, so we do have some extra things we need to add to our God column, though. We have learned that Jesus saves us, which means he washes us clean, and Jesus sanctifies us, that ongoing spot cleaning, that making us holy. Now, question number 5. Why is Peter completely clean, but some are not? We form the hypothesis. Does it mean that because Peter believes in Jesus that he is saved and washed clean, and some are not like Judas? We determined our hypothesis was yes, based on verse 11. The next one that we said was, is the washing Peter's feet symbolizing that we never quite arrive and that we have this ongoing spot cleaning? Yes, we've proved that as well now, right? With Hebrews, that verse in Hebrews 10:14, and then also 1 John 1:9. Also, in David Guzik commentary, I found this. Jesus taught that there is an initial bathing that is distinct from an ongoing washing. We need to be bathed in our trust in Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. There is a sense in which that is done once and for all. Yet afterwards, we must continue to have our feet washed in the ongoing relationship with and trust upon Jesus. So we have thoroughly investigated our hypothesis and we have proven it. Okay? I continued, because I was still curious about this whole saved versus sanctification thing, I continued to Google verses about it, and I found Ephesians 2:8-9 that says, how are we saved? We're saved by faith, and it's a gift of God, right? Romans 5:1 told me that we have been justified by faith, and we have peace with God through Jesus. And then John 17:17 says, sanctifying them in the truth, your word is truth. So how do we come alongside, as I think it's in Philippians 2, it says working out our salvation with Christ. How do we come alongside in that process? Well, this tells us right here, your word is truth. You're doing it right now. By coming here and learning how to study the Bible and spending time in the Bible, you're going to learn what holiness looks like and what God wants to teach you, and you are going to be molded by the best potter there is. So stick with it. Be encouraged to keep doing it. Question 6. We talked about the whole spot cleaning others, or is it supposed to be an example? And we determined that it is supposed to be an example. So we need to add to our green column me, humble ourselves and serve others. You are no better than anybody else. I Googled some verses about serving others. Galatians 5:13 says, do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Now, after we've adjusted our God and me columns, you're going to go back through them and read them. Think about everything you've learned, which is so incredibly much that you've learned today. And then you're going to start writing out your application. What is the Lord talking to you about? And again, remember, application can just be a letter to the Lord that thank you for all of these things. Help me in these areas where I need help. The Lord might speak very specifically about something, maybe pride. This would be a good one for pride, right? You're being prideful in your home, maybe, with your husband, maybe. You need to humble yourself and help your husband more. Whatever it is, the Lord's speaking to you. This is where you take the time to take what you've learned. Because what did he say? In the very last verse, he said, know these things. But how did he end it? Do them. Don't just be one of those people that knows a lot of stuff. They're just irritating. Do what you know. Just do what you know. The Bible says to know to do it, and not to do it is sin. So we have to apply it to our life. It's such an important part. So you're going to need your hot pad of application to take your cake out of the oven, okay? Otherwise, you're going to burn your hands. All right, my application for this one. I am overwhelmed when I think about what you did for me, how you rose up from your seat in heaven, laid aside your royal robes, and descended to earth so that you could wash me and make me white as snow. I owe you everything, every hope, every deem, every pursuit, every minute, every breath. You do all this for me. How can I not do what you ask and follow your example of serving others? Help me, Lord, to put your will and your desires ever before me, keeping the cross always before me. May I see all things through the filter of the price paid for me there. Amen.